I hope you find the message today to be spiritually uplifting and to fill you throughout the week. May God bless you as you listen to His Word.
Our scripture reading this morning is John chapter 20, verses 19 through 31. On the evening of that day, the first day of the week, the doors being shut where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they are forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails and place my finger in the mark of the nails and place my hand in his side, I will not believe." 8 days later, his disciples were again in the house, and Thomas was with them. The doors were shut, but Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands, and put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not be faithless, but believing." Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Now Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Amen.
Thank you, Jim. When we hear this story about Jesus coming in through the doors and the doors are locked and the disciples are amazed at what's going on, what rings out for you? What really sticks out in this story for you? What's the biggest doubt you've ever had? Let's focus in on Thomas. Was it doubting your abilities to complete a task? Doubt about your spouse? Doubt about your faith? How do you feel when you have doubt? Are you fearful? Anxious? Paralyzed? The disciples doubted Jesus when he said he would rise again. Therefore, when Jesus was crucified, they ran and hid. Peter denied he even knew Jesus, and Jesus had given him the keys to the kingdom. Days later, the disciples were still hiding, huddled together in fear. But apparently, Thomas was brave enough to go out because he wasn't there when Jesus appeared. Where was Thomas? What was he doing? Everyone else was hiding. Maybe he was assigned the task of getting food. Or perhaps he was tired of being cooped up, so when he went for a walk, he thought, "I just need some fresh air and maybe no one will recognize me." Whatever the case, he was missing when Jesus made his first visit to the disciples. If you came in the door and only the disciples were sitting there, no Jesus, would you have believed them when they told you that Jesus had been there? Would you have believed them after hearing them talk about how disappointed they were that the Lord was not resurrected? You walk in the door and there's nothing but the disciples and they say, "Hey, Jesus was here." Like, "Yeah, right. Why wasn't he here when I was here?" So of course Thomas had doubts. These are the men, these disciples that were left, that were disappointed because they didn't believe that Jesus would be resurrected. Died, but not resurrected. Would you have not been like Thomas? Doubt is part of life. We all have doubts at some point in our lives. Truth is, it's not normal to never have a doubt. That's not normal. For example, four ladies in a nursing home were sitting and talking, and the nurse brings in a new man to the facility. He was quite dapper for an older man. And one of the ladies asked him, "Where have you been for so long?" He responded by saying he had been in prison for 25 years for killing his wife. One lady perked up and smiled and said, "So you're single?" Again, doubt is normal. It would not be normal to take the answer from the man and ask him if he's single. Every disciple had doubt, including the Apostle Paul. The decision to grow always involves a choice, and I say this all the time in counseling, a choice between risk and comfort. This means that to be a follower of Jesus, you must renounce comfort as the ultimate value of your life. And that's sobering news to most of us because we're into comfort. But water walkers must master failure. Water walkers must master failure. Did Peter fail? Failure is not an event, but rather a judgment about an event. Failure is not something that happens to us or a label we attach to things. It is a way we think about outcomes. Again, did Peter fail? Well, I suppose in a way he did. Let's look at the time when Jesus was walking on the water out to the boat. Peter's faith wasn't strong enough. His doubts were stronger. He saw the wind. He took his eyes off of where they should have been. He sank. He failed. Well, maybe. Here's what I think. I think there were 11 bigger failures sitting in the boat. They failed quietly. They failed privately. Their failure went unnoticed, unobserved, uncriticized. Only Peter knew the shame of the public failure because he was not paralyzed by doubt. Only Peter knew other things as well. Only Peter knew the glory of walking on water. He alone knew what it was to attempt to do what he was not capable of doing on his own, then feeling euphoria of being empowered by God to actually do it. Once you walk on water, you never forget it. Not for the rest of your life. The same goes for Thomas. Did he fail? He asked for no more than the other disciples. They believed because they saw Jesus. Is that not right? They believed because they saw Jesus. They were faithful in their belief of the resurrection once they actually saw it. Thomas was not paralyzed by his doubt when he saw Jesus. He was bold. He said out loud what the others dared not say. "I'll believe when I see." Individuals can become paralyzed by doubt, and I've witnessed this firsthand. More than once, there were those who froze in battle, and someone had to run up and assist to help to unfreeze them or get them out of harm's way. But an interesting note, I believe, is that groups can become paralyzed by doubt. That's right, whole groups of people. When someone like Saddam Hussein took power using coercion and violence, communities become so full of doubt as to whether they can stand up to him, they just give up. Historically, this has been true of many a community, nation, and internationally. Even back in the days of Alexander the Great and Genghis Khan, there were nations that upon hearing these leaders were headed their way, simply rolled over and gave up due to doubt, the lack of faith in their own armies. Alexander the Great and a small company of soldiers approached a strongly fortified walled city. Alexander, standing outside the walls, raised his voice and demanded to see the king. When the king arrived, Alexander insisted the king surrender the city and its inhabitants to him and his little band of fighting men. The king laughed. "Why should I surrender to you? You can't do us any harm." But Alexander offered to give the king a demonstration. He ordered his men to line up single file and start marching. He marched them straight toward a sheer cliff. The townspeople gathered on the wall and watched in shocked silence. as one by one Alexander's soldiers marched without hesitation right off the cliff to their deaths. After 10 soldiers died, Alexander ordered the rest of the men to return to his side. The townspeople and the king immediately surrendered to Alexander the Great. They believed that if a few men were actually willing to commit suicide at the command of this dynamic leader, then they doubted that anything could stop his victory. They doubted. You got that? They doubted. They didn't know. They doubted that anything could stop Alexander. An entire city just rolled over because of the paralyzing effects of doubt. Do you have doubts? Does it keep you from participating in what the church does? Participating in the ministry of Jesus Christ because you doubt that anyone will listen to you? Or, I don't invite anyone to my church because I doubt they'll come. Don't ever buy into the idea that everything God prompts his followers to do will be uncomplicated or low cost. Sometimes God asks his children to carry heavy loads, as he did with the Apostle Paul. But even, and often especially, under those back-breaking burdens, God's purposes are fulfilled. When our task is tough, the reward of knowing we've helped further his kingdom and bettered our broken world is all the sweeter. If you ever find yourself with a difficult assignment, why not try giving thanks to God for trusting you with something that needs your particular strength? He assigns tasks to the right person every time. He did it throughout history, and he still does it today. As you walk whatever pothole path he has asked you to walk, never forget the tough journey that Jesus himself once made. Christ was asked to bear the most difficult assignment of all, to lay down his life as a redemptive sacrifice for humankind. He chose to obey. And because of his obedience, you and I enjoy our redemption today. There are many ways to build a kingdom and conquer nations. God's way is the best. And if we fear going out that door and have doubts that anyone's going to listen to us, that anyone is going to want to come into this church and sit in these pews, we've already defeated ourselves. But if we go knowing that God walks with us and knowing that God has asked us to complete this task, then we go knowing with faith that good things can happen. The emperor and conqueror of nations, Napoleon Bonaparte, rightly recognized the absolute uniqueness of Jesus and expressed it in these words: "I know men, and I tell you that Jesus Christ is no mere man. Between him and every other person in the world, there is no possible term of comparison. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I have founded empires, but on what did we rest the creations of our genius? Upon force. Jesus Christ founded his empire upon love, and at this hour, millions of men and women would die for him." Those words from Napoleon. Let us not experience the paralyzing effects of doubt when it comes to serving the Lord. Let us act boldly. Let us say yes to Christ, not maybe, or even worse, no. Thomas was not paralyzed, but bold. He didn't run when he heard the news of the resurrection. He stepped up and said, "Show me." Why? Because he wanted to believe. He wanted to serve. He wanted to have faith, and he did. Traditionally, it is said that Thomas traveled outside the Roman Empire to preach the gospel, traveling as far as India. According to tradition, the apostle reached Mysidis, India, in 52 AD and baptized several people, founding what today are known as St. Thomas Christians, or Nazranis. After his death, the reputed relics of St. Thomas the Apostle were enshrined as far as Mesopotamia in the 3rd century and later moved to various places. In 1258, some of the relics were brought to Abruzzo in Ortona, Italy, where they have been held in the church of St. Thomas the Apostle. He is often regarded as the patron saint of India, and the name Thoma remains quite popular among St. Thomas Christians of India. Doubt? If he had doubt, he certainly accomplished a lot. If we have doubt, and we still are bold in our doubt and say, you know what, I'm not sure, but I know God is sure, and I know that if I have God on my side, I can go out these doors and do the work, we'll be like Thomas. We can complete the mission. We can do the work. But if we become paralyzed by our doubt and decide to be pew sitters, and we just sit and enjoy every Sunday without ever actively being Christian, we're going to see the results. And they're not going to be results we want to see. So on this day, the Sunday after Easter, the Sunday after the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, I ask that you be bold. I'm not asking you not to have doubt. Like I said, that's normal. I'm asking you not to be paralyzed by doubt. Be in a mission. Be in ministry. Be about the work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, coming before you this day, we know that many times we have allowed our doubts to paralyze us, to stop us right in our tracks. We ask that you give us the strength, the courage, that you embolden us to the point that we will walk out these doors, do the work you have set us to do, and put our doubts aside for the glory and indeed the praise and uplifting of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We're glad that you joined us today for this special message, and we pray that you will join us again next week as God's Word is brought to you.